Home field is ours. And Whit Merrifield is playing like it's the prime of his career. This is Locked On Blue Jays. It starts right now.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Matt Bonaparte, Ben Shulman with you on your Tuesday episode. Thanks for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. We are free. We are available wherever you get your podcasts. We're talking Jays today. Jays took down the Orioles 5-1 on a beautiful Monday night. Jose Berríos put together a pretty solid start. 6 innings, 1 earned, 5 Ks. And, you know, it's interesting with Berríos. I don't know if I'm imagining this. I'm going to look at the numbers now before I say it. But I feel as if his strikeout numbers have been generally down. And they have, actually. But for the most part, so has his earned runs. And if that's the sacrifice he's got to make, I'm okay with it. If he's just got to go out there and get outs and not just try to, like, bend the ball around everybody's bat, which is what he can do in his prime. 5 strikeouts last night, 7 strikeouts in his last start, so, but he did give up 5 earned runs. I don't know. It's not an exact science on correlation here, but I do feel like we haven't seen a 13 strikeout game from him in a while or something like that.
Yeah, no, it's been a long time, and for a while it was working. Then, like you said, he starts getting hit a little, so you don't know how much you want to turn him into a pitch to contact guy necessarily. And I think a lot of the advanced people would say that some of his good starts haven't been good starts because the strikeout stuff hasn't necessarily been there. But yeah, in a topsy turvy, pretty tough year for Jose Berríos. At least he ends his regular season on a pretty good note. Obviously, will be the final start for him. And unfortunately, locks in by far the worst ERA since his rookie season of his career. But, he shows that, his ceiling remains high even throughout this really, really struggle-filled year. His ceiling remains so incredibly high even this year with his floor being, very low because he's picked up so many wins due to the fact that so many of his good starts have been long starts with only about 1 earned run allowed. I mean, he continues to put together these dominant starts. It's just in between that's been a problem. But if you look at his last 6 starts, 4 out of 6 of them, he goes 6 innings. And in those 4, he only gives up 2 or fewer runs. So he definitely has the capability to be good. Baltimore's no slouch. It's another win against them. I will say, when talking about those 4 starts where he went at least 6 and gave up 2 or fewer, now 3 of them came against the Orioles specifically. So perhaps that's just a good matchup for him, but that's a division team, so you want that to be a good matchup for him. So, yeah, I mean, it was good. It was a good start. It's end of a tough season, but a good start.
Yes. End of a tough season, a long road, long campaign for Jose Berríos, but at least he got through it, unlike some other members of the rotation this season. And he's at least in a position to where he wouldn't be the worst possible option to start a playoff game, even though I probably don't want him to. All right, let's talk about the offense a little bit in this game. You see a Vladdy home run, 2-hit game from Raimel Tapia, 2-hit game from Teoscar Hernandez, 3-hit game from 3-hit Whit. And we'll get to 3-hit Whit a little bit more later on. But do you want to see them like bench Vlad, bench Teoscar in these last couple of games?
I would, yeah. I would. We'll see what the lineup looks like today on this Tuesday. I mean, think about like Vlad, if you want to DH Vlad or something, I'm fine with that. At the end of the day, he is 23 and he is a guy who throughout his career has played the majority of his game. So I wouldn't hate DHing him. The likelihood of something happening while a guy's DHing, knock on wood, is very, very low. But I wouldn't mind seeing a couple guys go to the shelf. I mean, if Vlad's DHing, maybe you give Springer a rest. You got so many outfielders. Maybe it's a good time to get Bo Bichette a little bit of a rest, put Espinal at short. Because Bichette plays more than anyone, and B, because you may as well, you know, continue to get Espinal a little run there, because you never know what's going to happen in the playoffs. And Espinal hasn't played so much short this season, so even though he can play the position, why not just kind of warm him back up at that spot? Considering he hasn't been starting much at second, he may as well be ready to play either of those infield positions or third base at a moment's notice defensively. So I'd rest those two. Teo, I could see resting, although he's pretty hot right now, so maybe you just want to leave him. And also a guy, you know, maybe a guy like Kirk, who's played more this year than he's really ever played in his career, and obviously has like a bit of an interesting baseball body. Maybe give him a rest just to make sure everything's feeling all right.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Although I do respect the Blue Jays a ton for, and I didn't really have, you know, I didn't really realize this, I guess, last year, but like really just playing their three or so best players pretty much every day. I mean, Matt Chapman, who got hurt this season, was out for, I don't know, a couple of series, is still has 154 games under his belt. Like, if he was healthy, the man played the game, which I really respect. Yeah. I think that's pretty cool. And like you say, Vladdy, he leads the American League in games played this year, 159 games played. So he hasn't really taken a day off at all. We've seen Vladdy play pretty much every game. Yeah, one game.
So he hasn't played the whole game. Cool. Now, there were other days off that he pinch hit, but I mean, still, it counts as a game
play. Still, he played.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty cool. All right. I'm going to take a quick break to tell you about BetOnline. BetOnline.net is your number one source for football betting info this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you can find. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all of your sport wagering information, with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf, head to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Pow. Locked On Blue Jays continues. He is Matt Bonaparte. I am Ben Schulman, and the Blue Jays know exactly what they're doing come Friday. Toronto will be hosting the first round of the playoffs, thanks to some stuff that happened yesterday after the Blue Jays won their game. I stayed up at least to watch a very, frankly, not entertaining baseball game for a while, the Tigers and the Mariners. But the Tigers bested the Mariners, tough for you, Seattle, and made it so that the Blue Jays clinched home field advantage and the top wild card spot. Toronto ends up with that top spot and will probably finish with around the third best record in the American League. How big is it for the Blue Jays to have clinched this home field advantage with 2 days remaining in the season?
I think it's, you know, better than not clinching it. I mean, as much as a cop-out answer that is, I think, I mean, this is a team that I think would have succeeded without home field advantage, but at the same time, you want home field advantage. So I think it's big that they won it. Also, this is a fan base that has kind of been starving for playoff action, other than the two. We're not counting 2020, as I know you don't like to, and I kind of agree with you, because Mickey Mouse year, whatever, doesn't really count. This is a fan base that has been, you know, wanting a postseason team and hasn't gotten one since 2015, 2016, and before that, so much longer. So I think that in itself is something to be happy about, that Blue Jays fans are going to get to see their team at home for a decent amount of games.
Yeah, no, obviously, they didn't play at all in Toronto in 2020. So these will be the first playoff games since 15-16, with all the great moments there. You know, most recently, in 16 when it comes to, you know, Edwin Encarnacion walking off the Orioles in the wild card game and Josh Donaldson scoring on an errant throw to sweep the Rangers, or 15, you know the deal, the bat flip, etc. So that should be just so much fun for the Blue Jays. Really nice that I think they could lock it up because of one debate we had about like a week ago, perhaps. Not that I think they would have necessarily struggled on the road either, although I like the home field advantage. We were discussing whether Alek Manoah would need to start the last game of the season if it meant something for the Blue Jays. Would they trot him out there for home field advantage, which could burn him, you know, for that first round, or at least burn him for the first two games of the first round, and make it so only if there was a necessary third game that he would pitch in the wild card round. Now you don't have to think about that. Like, there's no reason to not have your starters lined up perfectly for the playoffs. Alek Manoah won't have to make another start, and as we mentioned, guys can get rest, and I think that that's really clutch for the Blue Jays, who, you know, in 2015 when they made that run, they had a lot of time too, or at least not a lot, but a bit of time, because this isn't so much, but a bit of time to line everything up. And I just think that's invaluable to make sure that the pitchers know exactly when they're pitching and really what they're going up against. I guess they don't know what they're going up against yet, but in terms of a schedule, they do.
I got two things. One, to react to that, I love that, and you're right, absolutely, Manoah not having to pitch is huge. Because now you get him for that wild card series. I also love that he led the AL in hit by pitches this year. I don't know why I love that. I just do. I think that just makes him such a dog. Like, he's like, I'm going to hit you. If I have to hit you, I'm going to hit you. Like, I love that. That's Nolan Ryan energy from Alek Manoah. I'm here for it. Other thing is John Schneider at the helm is 45. And 27 since taking over from Charlie Montoyo, who was 46 and 42 when he got fired. What do you think the record would be if Schneider managed the whole year?
I don't know.
Obviously, you can't really assume they would have won like 110 games or whatever, but do you think they would have been like marginally better or substantially better if Montoyo was never the skipper this year?
It's, you know, it's really hard to tell. I lean that they would be somewhat substantially better. What you said, 45 and 27 was his record?
45 and 27 is what Schneider has been since taking over.
So that, like, would extrapolate to 101 wins, like you said. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a difference of a couple games. They're on pace right now to win 92 or 93. You know, maybe it's 95 or 96. I don't think they win the division. Like, okay. I don't think the 7.5 games to the Red Sox are made up by that difference. I know it feels easy, I think, for people to extrapolate it and be like 101 Schneider wins makes sense because of the pace he's built up. But I think there were some things about their struggle to start. I think there were a lot of things about their struggle to start the year that really didn't have to do with the manager. And
that's,
you know,
fair,
there's that Teoscar-less like 4 weeks.
Yes.
Where you're not going to be good anyway.
I think the main thing I'm looking at is what kind of led to the Montoyo firing, which was that long losing streak where the team came within 4 games of .500. And I assume that the Jays front office is like, Charlie, like, what are you doing? Like, what is the story, man? And that's when they were like, all right, Schneider takes over. And pretty much from that point, they were good and they were fine. I believe it was that Phillies series, wasn't it? Or am I wrong?
It was halfway through the first Phillies two-gamer. I believe Montoyo managed the first one.
And they won 4-3.
And then Schneider managed the second.
Schneider won the second one. Okay. Yeah, so it was, and that was right after a ton of losses, like 5 losses and then a win, and then 4 losses and then a win. So 9 losses in 11 games.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, do you think that losing streak happens with Schneider, or do you think that Montoyo and kind of him having stirred up the clubhouse not the way that the Jays front office wanted kind of led to that?
It's hard to tell, you know. I mean,
yeah, insanely difficult. So let me just give you an impossible task.
Yeah, I'd like to think that with how well they've played now, maybe they wouldn't have hit that skid. Then again, it's not like this Schneider team hasn't had a slide or two. They haven't had many. They had a great month.
No more than three straight losses, though, for them.
No more than three straight. That's pretty good. I mean, there was... So no more than three straight, but if you go August 8th to August 16th, there is there's no break in the middle. They did lose 6 of 7. They lost 3-1, yes. Lost 3 again. So, you know, I don't lean that it's much different. Like, I don't think, instead of going 2-9 in those 11 games, now that they have Schneider, they go 7-4. Probably not. I think the team is being run a bit better under him, it appears, and they've definitely won enough to make that case. But at the same time, the tools are very different, I think, now. I think certain guys are playing a lot better, certain guys are healthier, and certain guys just weren't on the team. Like, I really like the way Schneider manages the bullpen, but he's also been dealt a better hand with that bullpen than, you know, than Montoya was, because the trade deadline hadn't happened yet, and certain things needed to fall certain ways. So... yeah, I mean, I probably lean that they're slightly better, but it's not like a huge season altering change for this year, at least. In the future, they might be a lot better because of Schneider.
This is my last thing on it. And I get that the manager, I mean, these days, a manager in baseball, I think, is less involved in decisions than they were maybe 10 or 20 years ago. So I think that players liking the guy who's managing the club is probably bigger than anything else. And that's kind of why they went with Schneider, is because he came up with all those guys. He knew Bo and Vladdy and Cavan, and he had won minor league championships with them and whatnot, and like all that kind of thing. And then also, like, proof is in the pudding kind of thing. Like, right when he took over, they won, what, one game, and they lost, and they won. Like, right away, they just started winning, and maybe somebody came back that I don't remember, or something changed with the lineup or the bullpen right there. But still won right away. Obviously, I don't know if that changes anything, but I just think it's an interesting thing to think about Schneider. Because I think he's going to be back next year, regardless of how the playoffs go. And I think that's the right move.
I think he will be back. I think part of their early winning, I give them credit because I think it's a smart thing to do. I think they made the change at a smart time. I think you saw this year, I think the Philadelphia Phillies made a change at a smart time, and the Los Angeles Angels did not make a change at a smart time. And that can mean a lot. Setting up your manager.
They should have held on to Madden like this much longer.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, what are you doing going into the Mets and Dodgers series? You know, like, you weren't going to win those series regardless. But I digress. I think it's clear that they like this guy. He, like you said, I mean, although I brought up the counter with the 6 losses in 7 games, they haven't lost more than 3 because part of the likable manager, can you go in there when the team's not playing well and motivate them to go out there and play their best? And it sure seems like he's done that. They've come up with clutch hits, wins in tight spots, a lot of big moments for these young guys. And they did do some of that under Charlie, but it seems like they've done even more of it under Schneider. So, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I would be more than okay if, you know, if everyone's taking a couple days of relaxed time before the playoffs and they wanted to offer him a deal for next season, I'd be okay taking that interim tag away from him before the playoffs started, unless you wanted to keep it on because interim managers don't win a World Series very often, and maybe you're a fan of trivia.
True. I mean, that'd be pro for this pod because
I'm a fan of trivia. So
yeah, this is a trivia. Yeah. Like, secondarily, we're probably like a Packers pod. And then right after that, we're like a trivia pod.
A trivia pod.
Yeah. We should try to get, this is so off topic, but we should try to get Locked On Packers to have us on one week.
Okay.
It'd be crazy crossover. I don't know how we convince them quite.
Don't think they'll care.
But it would be a wild crossover. Anyway, ads.
Now.
Okay. Let's talk about Whit Merrifield. This man has stolen the hearts of all Toronto Blue Jays fans. I mean, we kind of ragged on him for the entirety of the first month that he was in Toronto. His August was bad. He had 208. He had 11 hits in 19 games. He had one home run. He struck out 12 times. He had more strikeouts than hits in August. He was pretty inconsequential in terms of the score. Team was 8-11 when he played. It was just like he wasn't even there. Like he was just, plastic bag in the wind. Poor guy. And then he changed his fate in September, and he has just been an absolute canine, a dog, if you will. Wit, starting on September 21st and going to right now, Whit Merrifield, that's 12 games. Whit Merrifield has hit 19 hits in 12 games, 10 runs scored, 4 doubles, 4 homers, 11 ribbies. He's hitting .463 in that time, an OPS of .1331, and a slugging percentage of .854. He is nuts right now, like just nuts. In his last 4 games, 3 of them have been 3-hit games. Like, that's insane. Like, what? The dude's just hitting, I don't know, like he's just hitting like he's Tony Gwynn. It's ridiculous. And I think that he's playing himself into a regular role in the playoffs.
Yeah, I truthfully would be more surprised than not. It's close, but I'd be more surprised than not if Whit Merrifield wasn't starting game one. You know, like I truthfully believe he's going to be the game one starter at second base. You talked about recently with that recent success. I mean, his overall numbers are good, like surprisingly good. If you haven't checked Whit Merrifield's baseball reference page recently, listener, then you probably think that his numbers with the Blue Jays are significantly worse. And you'd be right in thinking that because it looked so bad for so long. But he's hitting .289 as a Blue Jay with right about an .800 OPS. I mean, better than we would have asked for, frankly.
Was it on the pod yesterday or off the pod?
It was off the pod. I asked you about it after.
Ben was asking me, he was like, all right, guess Whit Merrifield's OPS. And I was like,
with
565 or something like that. And he was like, way higher. And then I just kept going up. I couldn't find it. And I was shocked.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he had, I would say this before the pod, if he had a week before or a week more of the season, his overall OPS, like including Kansas City this year, would jump over 700 almost surely. It's a bummer. He won't have the time to do that probably. He would basically have to just keep hitting like this for the rest of the year. I mean, hit like 2 more home runs and have 6 more hits or something. Maybe he gets it up there, but he's been really good. And frankly, we've talked about it for a little bit, not like ad nauseum, but Espinal's offense has really slowed down a ton off the start of the year. Biggio has slowed down. And so that second base spot has been left open a little more. And the thing about Whit is he's just like, that's what he does. When they put him in the outfield, he had some struggles, and he just traditionally has not necessarily hit all that well from the outfield, with the exception of, honestly, like a really good left field resume this year, because he had the 2-homer game in Tampa when he played left field. Like, he has really not hit well, mostly as a right fielder in 38 games this year. But at second base, he's hit pretty well all year, .270 with a low 700s OPS. So I think getting him in every day like he was used to when he was a multiple-time All-Star first 6 years of his career, and getting him in at second base could be massive for Whit. And it's massive for the Blue Jays, who need offense out of that position and are finally starting to get it.
Yeah, it is so huge, because we also kind of talked about, I don't know if it was around the All-Star break, but you and I were talking about, like, okay, what is the one thing this team really needs to improve on? Maybe it was around the All-Star break. And we both kind of agreed it was second base, because while we both like Santiago, he's not, like, a world beater. Like, he's fine.
He's really good defensively.
He was an All-Star this year somehow. And yes, he's a very good defensive player. That's kind of like what keeps him around, because his OPS is .692. His average doesn't crack 270, and he's not a power bat at all. So it's really not his bat that's doing anything. And that's kind of the one thing, if you could, that you'd want to improve this offseason. as a Jays fan. So yeah, if Witt, I'm not necessarily saying Witt's going to come back next year.
They
What's his contract? Like his contract.
They have him for seven mil next year. Which is like now they should keep him, frankly. Now there's no point in trying to like shed his salary, I think.
It's actually a really interesting
contract.
Yeah, it's a $2.75 million contract year, but his salary increases by $4 million if he spends less than 110 days on the IL. So if he stays healthy, he gets an extra $4 million.
So that would get him up to seven, like 2.75 plus four. Yeah. And then it's a mutual option at 24. So the Jays can decide to do whatever they want with that. But yeah, I mean, I would keep him. I think he's played himself into a playoff starting role. And frankly, like, there's a good chance he makes your team better next year if you keep him, you know?
Yeah. He still totally is.
We were pretty baffled by the trade because he was amid by far the worst year of his career. If he has a bounce back, and he's anything like Whit Merrifield of the past, and he'll probably be more comfortable next year, like he's starting to look right now. I mean, that definitely makes them better than before.
Yeah, I totally think so. And there is something to say about having a veteran on the squad, even though Whit has never won anything. But
he's never made the playoffs. But I agree with you. There's so many young guys being called upon day in and day out. A couple guys who like have their standing already there in the majors, who like, you know, if they strike out in this spot, it's not going to feel like their legacy is going to be tarnished by it forever or something like that, like every time Vladdy hits a ground ball and people scream at him. So I think that's big, just to have someone with that kind of experience.
I think it's massive as well. All right, that's all I got. You got anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right, thanks for making Lockdown Blue Jays your first listen today. Go make your second listen to Lockdown MLB podcast. Paul Francis Sullivan is an MLB expert. He brings jokes. He might yell, and he's not thinking like you are, okay? He's thinking very uniquely on every team and the biggest stories around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Lockdown MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get podcasts. I'm Matt Bonaparte. He's Ben Shulman. We're back tomorrow with more Blue Jays content, and we'll see you then.